invite you to turn with us once again to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. We have come to verse number 14 in this first chapter of this Gospel. I'm thankful for the good news, aren't you? The glad tidings of salvation that have been recorded for us within God's Word. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 14. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, when Jesus calls your name. When Jesus calls your name. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 14. If you found your place, let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. I'm thankful for it. I believe it's inspired, infallible, and inerrant. And I'm thankful that it's been preserved and kept for you and I. Year 2010, we're still reading the book. Amen. The Bible tells us here in Mark chapter number 1, verse 14, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.' Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, 'Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.' And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." You may be seated tonight. When Jesus calls your name. As I was thinking about this, I have some very basic thoughts and some very basic, simple things that I want to share with you to draw out of the text tonight. But isn't it always amazing when Jesus calls our name? And it's amazing unto me when He speaks unto me. And I hope everybody here tonight has heard Him speak unto you. Amen? I believe it's essential that Jesus speak to men's hearts. I believe it's essential that Jesus speak to women's hearts. Now, you say, "Preacher, are you talking about an audible voice? Are you talking about hearing Jesus talk just as I'm hearing you tonight?" Well, I'll tell you what, if you've been privileged to do so, I bless you. But I'm talking about just the way Jesus speaks to us through His Word. The way Christ speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And we find here that Jesus had an opportunity to intervene in some men's lives that we read about in the text tonight. First thing I want us to make note of tonight is the culmination. The culmination. That word also could be defined as the consummation. It's talking about a time of completion. It's talking about a time when everything comes to a head. And we find the Bible says here in verse 14, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." We find that there had come a time in history. I like the way Brother Paul makes reference unto it in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And he describes the fullness of time. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that when the fullness of time came about, when everything was just right, God allowed His only begotten Son to be brought forth into this world, to be born of a virgin, pure and clean, and to be laid there in that lowly little manger of feed and trough. At the fullness of time, we find that Christ was there in the temple, able at 12 years old to astonish all the chief priests. At the fullness of time, Christ came forth into a public ministry. We find that He was baptized by John. But we also find that John got himself in prison. John eventually had his head chopped off because he would not buckle. He would not bow. He said, "I'm going to serve the Lord God all the days of my life." And we find that it cost him his life. But we find the fullness of time has now arrived. The culmination in verse number 14. Now after that John was put in a prison, and the Bible says Jesus came into Galilee. Now we find that there's several chapters chronologically that are skipped here that were covered in the Gospel of John. From John chapter 1 all the way through chapter number 4, we find Jesus ministering in Cana. We find Jesus ministering unto Nicodemus. We find on up in chapter number 4 where that John found out that he was making Herod a little bit uncomfortable, and he got himself in prison. So we find here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 that after John was put in prison, the Bible says that Jesus came into Galilee. He came unto a place where that sinners were. He came unto a place in which that believers were also. But we find here that the culmination had come to take place. The Bible says that He came preaching. Well, I'm glad for preaching, aren't you? I'm thankful for the herald of the gospel. I'm thankful for preaching. Preaching means not only to herald, but it means to publish. It means to proclaim openly. My friend, we need to be people that desire to proclaim openly the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friend, there is no other way. There is no other answer. There is no other cure for men and women's lost lives other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says here that Jesus came preaching the gospel. Gospel, my friend, are glad tidings of salvation through Christ. Hey, it's not glad tidings of salvation through Muhammad or through Hare Krishna or through Barry Baker Eddy. Hey, it's not Jim Jones that's going to get you into heaven, but it's Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here that He came preaching the gospel. Hey, the gospel is the proclamation of the grace of God manifest. Hey, John said, we have beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, Jesus was manifest, and that's the gospel. He became real. He became evident unto a certain individual. And my friend, the culmination might be tonight that Jesus wants to make Himself manifest unto you. The Bible tells us here that He came preaching. He came preaching the gospel. Hey, I'm thankful for the gospel. It's not only the proclamation of the grace of God that has become manifested, but it's also pledged in Christ. Hey, I'm glad I've got a God that holds His Word. I'm glad I've got a God that won't let me down. I'm glad I've got Jesus who said He'll keep me unto everlasting upon everlasting. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, my friend, that God will never balk upon His promise unto you. Hey, you commit yourself unto Him. He commits Himself unto you. And my friend, that's good unto the bitter end, unto the sweet end for those that are saved, my faith. Hey, the Bible says here and teaches us that Jesus came preaching. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That word kingdom in the New Testament always represents the reign of Messiah. It represents the reign of Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God. The Bible here tells us this culmination again in verse number 15, for it says, "And saying the time is fulfilled." That time is a very interesting word. Time represents that which is fixed and definite. My friend, we're here at a fixed time on a Wednesday evening. We all knew that at 7 p.m. On Wednesday night, we was going to come to the house of God. We knew that we was going to come, we was going to gather, we was going to have prayer, we was going to sing some songs of Zion, we was going to gather around the gospel and see what God's Word had to say unto us. Hey, it was a fixed time. It's a definite time. Let me remind you that on God's calendar, hey, there's a fixed time, there's a definite time for a lost, hell-bound sinner to get saved. Hey, God's not guessing when you're going to get born again. God knows the time. God knows the hour. God knows the moment that a child is going to come and be birthed into the family of God. Hey, the culmination might be for you tonight when Jesus calls your name. Hey, the Bible says here that the time is fulfilled. That time not only represents that which is fixed and definite, but it represents an opportune time. Hey, there ain't no better time to get born in the family of God than in a church service, in a little country church, and to hear the gospel. Hey, when Jesus calls your name, my friend, it is a time, it's an opportune time and a seasonable time. Hey, praise God, it's the right time. Amen. I want to remind you tonight that it is also a limited time. Hey, it's a limited period of time whenever Jesus calls your name. But the Bible says here that the time is
fulfilled. That word fulfilled means to carry into effect, to bring to a realization, to perform or to execute. Hey, Jesus wants to call somebody's name out tonight. So we see the culmination, but let's look at the calling. Hey, I've reminded you that chronologically, we find the Gospels fit together in different intervals. So we find here that over in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1 and verse number 35, the Bible tells us about when Jesus first had an encounter with Andrew and with Peter. The Bible tells us there, as I read to you, the Bible says again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. We find that these two men had an opportune time in which that they met Jesus. Hey, they had a fixed time in which they came and encountered Jesus. Hey, we find that it was a time, a seasonable time. It was the right time in which these two men, these two young men, came and laid their eyes upon Christ. And I believe they came believing. I believe they came trusting. Hey, Andrew already said, "Hey, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Anointed One of God. We have found the Christ that's come to redeem us. He's come to set us free. He's come to allow us to have the opportunity to serve God the way that God wants to be served." And we find here that they trusted. Hey, we find the calling is a calling of salvation. We find the calling is a calling to sanctification. We find the calling is a calling here in the text that we have before us tonight, not only to salvation, but also unto discipleship. You know what Jesus wants? He wants us to step out into the deep. You know what Jesus wants? He wants us to get tired of just having the ho-hum same service. Hey, Jesus wants us to get tired of just being satisfied with having our name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, He wants some individuals that have some zest and some zeal and some gumption. Hey, He wants some individuals that want to learn and that want to demonstrate before a lost and dying world what it truly means to be a disciple of the Jesus Christ in which it saved us. Hey, the Bible shares with us here. It says unto us here in verse number 16, it says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." We see the calling that was placed upon these men's lives. I like the way Kenneth Weiss makes reference unto it. Hey, Jesus didn't call somebody that was lazy. Amen. Hey, Jesus didn't call somebody into discipleship that just sat around all the time. Hey, He didn't call somebody that was too contrary and too contrifling. He didn't call somebody that's too lazy to get out there and to serve their family and to be of help to their fellow man. Hey, I'll tell you what. Hey, if you're satisfied with just laying around, if you're satisfied with not serving in the workplace, if you're satisfied with not supporting your family, my friend, I dare to say that Jesus ain't got no use for you. That's just straight. I'll tell you what, I believe that God looks down upon an individual and He looks to see what they're made up of. Hey, He looks down. Now, I'm not going to say that Jesus can't put some oomph in somebody. Hey, Jesus can take somebody that's as lazy can be, and He can put inside of them a want to, that won't quit. But I'm here to tell you tonight, children, that if you're going to be used in the family of God, if you're going to be used in the kingdom work, God's going to look down upon somebody that has a desire to serve. And my friend, He wants somebody that's willing to work. Hey, these men weren't lazy men. They were fishers. Hey, these men knew what it was like to work hard. Hey, they knew what it was like to toil and the sweat and in the hot sun. They knew what it was like to toil and to serve on that ship in the cold of the night. Hey, these men knew what it was to cast a net. These men knew what it was to draw up a net. These men knew what it was to work. So when Jesus looked upon these men, He had something already that was worthwhile using. You know what? Jesus probably observed these men for a good while. He may have observed these men from a distance for a good while. Do you know what? Jesus sees everything we do. Jesus knows everywhere we go. Jesus knows every thought we have. Jesus knows what's in the depths of our heart. Jesus knows whether you have a true desire to serve Him or whether you're just satisfied getting into heaven by the hair of your chinny chin chin. My friend, God knows what's on the depths of our hearts. He might be calling somebody tonight to step out in the deep. Might be calling somebody. You say, preacher, I thought you was going to preach a salvation message. Hey, there's enough salvation in the gospel tonight for some lost, hell-bound sinner to get birthed in the family of God. But my friend, God might be calling some saved, born-again saint to step out a little deeper. Hey, to start serving a little more. To start giving a little bit more. Hey, we find the calling that was upon these men's life. He said, come. Hey, that word come ain't just a little old, come here. I believe what He was saying is, He was saying, come, and come now, and come quick, and come in a hurry, and come and serve the King of Kings, and come and serve the Lord of Lords, and come with zest, and come with zeal, and come with all you got. My friend, the Bible tells us here, He said, come after Me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Now, I'll tell you what, becoming a good disciple of Christ does not happen overnight. Amen? Hey, the Bible says, He said, come after Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He says, you're going to quit using those nets to catch fish, but I'm going to give you the gospel net that you can throw out into a lost sea, and you can draw up some men unto Me that can become birthed in the family of God, that'll have everlasting life, hey, that'll have a new owner, hey, that'll have a new appetite for God, hey, that'll be a good daddy, hey, that'll be a good mama, hey, that'll be a good child, hey, I'm going to cause you to be a fisher of men. But it ain't going to happen overnight. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some sweat. It's going to take some toil. Hey, it's going to take some good attendance in Bible study. It's going to take some good attendance in the house of God. It's going to take some good attendance in the mission field. Hey, it's going to take work and it's going to take effort to become a fisher of men. You say, preacher, I have a hard time witnessing to people. I have a hard time telling somebody about what Jesus has done for me. I'll tell you what, the more you practice, hey, the easier it gets. Hey, the more you try, the easier it gets. I'll tell you what, the first tree I climbed, it looked like somebody had just peeled the bark off of it from one side to the other. Hey, but it takes some practice to get good at whatever you do. I'd say, Trey, the first time you stood up and wrote on a blackboard, you was as nervous could be. But she does that probably with pretty eager ease now. Hey, I'll tell you what, it don't matter what you do in life. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes discipline to become good at it. And my friend, it's no different in the family of God. Jesus is calling unto you tonight. When Jesus calls your name, hey, He called some other boys there in verse number 19. It says, and when He had gone a little further thence, He saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Hey, these men were working too. Hey, to mend a net means to mend what has been broken or rent. These boys were repairing. These boys were fixing. It also means to equip. You see, God is going to use somebody that's a good mender. Hey, God wants to use somebody that's able to be equipped that they also might equip somebody else. Hey, Jesus is calling unto us tonight to be equippers. I believe that's one of my main purposes as your pastor tonight. Hey, it's not only to try to keep vision before us. It's not only to try to lead us from green pasture unto green pasture. It's not only to serve you and to help you. But my friend, most of all, it's to equip you for the work of the ministry. My friend, Jesus is calling. When Jesus calls your name, the Bible says there that they were mending. That word mending also means to put in order. It means to arrange. It means to adjust. God might call you to be an adjuster. I'm not talking about an income tax adjuster. I'm not talking about an insurance adjuster. I'm talking about a soul adjuster. I'm talking about He might equip you to be somebody that can teach Sunday school in such a manner and in such a way that you can equip some lost individual to be saved, that you could equip some saved individual to be able to keep on carrying the gospel cross and to keep on heralding the gospel till Jesus comes. My friend, He wants to help somebody to be an arranger, an adjuster. But ethically, that word mending, now listen, ethically that word mending means to strengthen. Amen. Hey, He might be calling somebody here tonight to be a strengthener. Hey, there's somebody that you're going to encounter in life that's weak and frail and has no zest or zeal, but God's going to give you the ability to strengthen them. God's going to give you the ability to mend them. Hey, ethically, it means to strengthen. It means to perfect. Now, I know there ain't nobody perfect, but God's perfecting us until Jesus comes. God's perfecting us whether we go by the rapture or whether we go by the grave. Until that day comes, God is doing a work on us. And He's going to use you to do a work on somebody else when Jesus calls your name. Hey, with the calling here, that mending means to strengthen, to perfect. It also means to comfort. I believe God's given somebody in this church house tonight the gift of comfort. I believe He's given you the ability to comfort somebody like nobody else can. But my friend, you've got to hear Him call your name. You've got to hear Him call you out. You've got to hear Him call you into discipleship. The Bible tells us here, it says there that they were mending. That word mending also means to make one what he ought to be. Do you realize that somebody ain't going to become everything that they can be until you answer the gospel call? Until you answer the call to discipleship? Hey, there's somebody. It might not be next week. It might not be this year. But my friend, I'm talking in 5 years down the road. If Jesus carries, if you'll listen unto Jesus' voice and heed to the calling that He's placed upon your life, He'll help you to make somebody be what they ought to be. If you'll listen. If I'll listen, hey, I'm not just preaching to the choir tonight. I'm just not preaching unto you tonight. I'm preaching unto me. Hey, when Jesus calls our name, hey, the Bible tells us here and teaches us of the culmination. It teaches us of the calling. The Bible says there in verse number 20, it says, "And straightway He called them." My friend, He's calling unto us now. Hey, that calling here, the way that the Greek word is formed, from what I gather, it does not just talk about somebody that's calling somebody from as far as me to Andy. It's not talking about somebody that's calling somebody as far as from me to Miss Gertie. Hey, it's talking about somebody that's calling somebody over there at Gary Moore's house. Hey, call after me. Call unto me. Hey, that's what He's talking about. Hey, He had to call out far and long. You say, "Well, I'm a long way from where I ought to be, preacher." Yeah, but you ain't too far to hear the voice of Jesus. My friend, He's calling tonight. He's calling. The Bible says that He called. That word to call means to call aloud. It means to utter the voice. Hey, it means to invite. Amen. It means to invite, but it also means to call by name. Do you realize that Jesus knows exactly what you need to hear? To hear from Him. Jesus can call you. Hey, I'll tell you what. Whenever I was young, my mother could call me, Tim. And I might listen. She might say, "Timothy." And I might perk up a little bit more. Boy, I knew whenever she called out, she said, "Timothy Allen." I knew I better get there and get there quick. Amen. That's exactly the way Jesus calls unto us. Hey, He knows how to call you by name. Is He calling tonight? When Jesus calls your name, we see the culmination. We see the calling. But my friend, I also want to think about this. We see the conviction. Look back with me in verse number 15. Verse number 15 says, "And saying the time is fulfilled." Remember, that time speaks of a fixed and definite time. That time speaks of an opportune or seasonable time. Hey, that time speaks of the right time, but it also speaks of a limited period of time. You realize Jesus ain't going to call you every day. You realize Jesus might not call you when you want Him to call you. Hey, Jesus is going to call you when He desires to call you, when He allows the Holy Ghost of God to take the Word of God and to stick it upon your heart and to allow you to hear from heaven. Hey, that's a blessed time. That's an opportune time. That's the right time. But my friend, it's also a limited period of time. Do you realize there's been some times in my life when Jesus has called upon me and beckoned unto me to do something and I didn't act on it real quick and you know what? The calling left. Hey, that opportune time slipped on by. Hey, that limited period of time was there for a moment and I missed it and it's gone and I won't never get it back. Let me tell you, my friend, tonight, if God's doing a convicting work on your heart tonight, hey, there might everybody in the house tonight that's at the age of accountability, as far as I'm looking across this crowd tonight, hey, you might be saved, you might not. But my friend, I want to remind you that it's a limited period of time that God will deal with your heart. Hey, it's the right time. Hey, the Bible says here the time is fulfilled. Hey, that fulfilled means to carry into effect, to bring to a realization. It means to perform it. It means to execute it. And He says the time is fulfilled. He says the kingdom, the rule of the Messiah of God is at hand. That word at hand means to draw or to come near. It means it's approaching. And I'll tell you what, it's here. Amen. Hey, Jesus was talking about days to come. Hey, it's here. It's now. It's for you. If you're hearing Jesus call your name, is He calling tonight? Is He working on you? Is He convicting you? Hey, this right here is what convicts us more than anything. Hey, the Bible says here, the time's fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Then He says, repent ye. My friend, whenever Jesus tells somebody to repent, my friend, that's when conviction sets in. Amen. Hey, you know why? Because it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us uneasy. That word repent means that we've got to turn. It means that we've got to have a change of our mind. Hey, we've got to have a change of our attitude. We have to have a change of direction. We have to have a change of action. Hey, there has to be a change take place of life. And we don't deal with that very well. I was witnessing to a man today, Brother Andy. Told him he was going to heaven because he treated everybody the way he wanted to be treated. Yet I could smell liquor on his breath and his cussing every other word. And I began to ask him those diagnostic questions. And he shared with me he felt like he was a good person. I told him, I said, it's by grace through faith that you're saved, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And you just tell his countenance change. I felt the Holy Ghost of God set right there between me and him, Andy. And I could just feel conviction upon that man. And I reached out to him one more time with the gospel. And he changed direction, said, it's good to talk to you. I'll see you, and walked off. I'll tell you what, whenever God comes along, there's conviction. And my friend, if you're lost, my friend, that opportune time is there right now, maybe tonight in this service, for you to get birthed in the family of God and get born again. But my friend, it may be for somebody here tonight that's saved, and it's time for you to step it up. It's time for you to, as Emerald says, to kick it up a notch. Amen. Hey, it's time to get busy in the kingdom of God. It's time to get active in the house of God. It's time to serve Jesus while we can. A lot of people say, well, I'll serve Him when I get retirement age. My friend, you might not make it to retirement age. Hey, the way the stock market's going, we're all going to be working until we go to the grave. Amen. But I'm here to tell you what, we need to serve Jesus while we can. Hey, there's conviction. But we see here, there's conversion. Look what the Bible says here in verse 15. It says, repent ye and believe. Believe what, preacher? Believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Believe the glad tidings of salvation. Believe that proclamation of the grace of God to become manifest. And it only manifests, but Jesus pledges to keep you and to preserve you and to protect you and provide for you. He'll never, never leave you. He'll always be there to call upon. Now, friend, what does He ask us to do? He says, believe. What does believe mean? It means to trust in Him. It means, as we see here, Strong says it means to think to be true. It means to be persuaded of. It means to place our credit upon Him. It means to place our confidence in Him and Him only. My friend, all we got to do is believe. Hey, when Jesus calls our name, there's the culmination, there's the calling, there's the conviction, there's the conversion. But we also see the commitment. Hey, these old boys believed. I believe they did. Why do you say that, preacher? Because look what it says in verse number 18. It says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. Hey, they didn't dilly-dally around. They didn't try to get things in order. They didn't say, let me go do this and let me go do that. No, the Bible says it straightway. That means immediately. That means forthwith, straightway. The Bible says that they forsook their nets. Hey, they forsook. That word forsook means to yield up. It means to leave. You mean they left somebody else standing there with the net? Yep. Why, preacher? Why did they do that? Why did they walk off with somebody else? Because they were following after Jesus. I'll tell you what, if you follow after Jesus, if you're converted, if you commit yourself unto Him, won't nobody else's agenda take priority? Won't nobody else take more importance over Jesus? Hey, Jesus will be the priority. He's the preeminent one in your life now. Hey, I'm going to serve Him, they said. They forsook their nets and they followed Him. That word followed means, listen, that word followed, we says, to walk the same road. What is Jesus asking you to do? He's asking me to give up my friends. He's asking me to leave my all those things that I enjoy. He's asking me to give up some of my possessions. He's asking me to separate myself from some of my appetites. What is Jesus asking you to do? All He's asking you to do is walk the same road that He's walking. And you know what's sweet about that? Is that He's going to walk every step of the way with you. Hey, some people get so scared and so nervous about salvation. They say, I don't believe I can live it, preacher. I don't believe I can do that type of lifestyle. I say, no, you can't. But you trust in Jesus. You believe in Him. Hey, you place your credit and your confidence in Him. And He'll walk with you every step of the way. Hey, it means that He's going to attend unto you jointly. Hey, you've got a companion. Amen. He's going to walk with you. That word to follow, it means to walk the same road. It means side by side. It speaks of joint participation, but it implies fellowship. You'll never be alone. He'll always be there with you if you'll commit yourself unto Him. Hey, that commitment we see here, these boys, it says in verse 18, it says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. Bible says in verse 20, it says, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. He must have had a pretty big business. Old Zebedee must have been a well-off man. Had some hired men. I told Stacy yesterday, I said, if you can take care of that, I'll let hired do it. He'll finish up. And he said, who's hired? I said, my hired help. You'll get that later on. Oh, hired. You got some hireds, don't you, Ronnie? These men had, he had some hired help. But the Bible says there in verse 20, it says, they left their father Zebedee in the ship, the hired servants, and went after Him. Remember, that's what Jesus is asking for us to do. He's asking us to leave everything else by. They left it, that means to leave it, it means to go away from it, it means to depart from it. And the Bible says they went after Him. They went in the way in which Jesus went. They just followed Him. Walked the same road He's walking. Let me ask you, is Jesus calling your name? Maybe somebody here tonight that's lost and Jesus is calling your name. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be birthed in the family of God. The Bible says today's a day of salvation. I invite you to come. But there may be many here tonight that Jesus is calling your name. And He's calling you to step it up a notch. Kick it up a notch. Walk a little deeper. Walk a little closer. Serve a little better. Is Jesus calling your name tonight? Are you committed? I'll tell you what, I believe if somebody is committed, there's no conviction without conversion. You've heard that. I've heard that from me. You've heard that from Brother Andy. No conviction without conversion. But I believe there's no conversion without commitment. We've got to be committed unto Him. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.